Welcome to Synthaholics. This is your host, David Duncan, and with me is...
Aaron O'Brien.
And from all the way in California land and no air conditioning...
It's Holly.
Hey, Holly.
Maybe a little loopy from the heat.
Are you roasting alive?
I'm a little warm. A little warm. I had to close my fan or my window, and I have a fan on as low as it can go, so it's not making noise.
Oh, we turned our fan off. It was really humid today. I just don't understand, like, in California, them not providing air conditioning. I understand in Buffalo, because, I mean, it's cold most of the year.
Yeah.
And not every place here has air conditioning, but, like, in California.
Well, do you know, Holly, you might have more in common with this episode than you think, because Tholians live at a very high temperature.
Ah.
Yes. If you wouldn't be able to survive on a Tholian ship, because it's way too hot.
I wonder if a,
Tholian?
No, not a Tholian. Horta. I wonder if the Horta would, like, mind it. I mean, because they secrete that stuff that's really hot that burns through rock.
I'm sure they could cohabitate together.
Yeah, they could hang out. They could, like, yeah. I wonder if Tholians, like, have Horta as, like, pets.
Oh, really?
They could, like, cuddle, like,
remember the Horta ship?
A supposed Federation ship run by Horta. They just fill in all the inside with concrete.
Wasn't it like a giant potato with nacelles off of it? It really was. Remember that? We talked about that like in episode like four or something like that. I don't remember. But anyways, we have some news to talk about. This is kind of shocking. News is probably over a week old. CBS and Netflix are sued for Discovery storyline and characters. So a lawsuit has been filed in the U.S. District Court against CBS and Netflix for perceived similarities between the storyline and characters of Star Trek Discovery and the indie game Tardigrade back in 2014. So if you do look this up, there's go to the website trekzone.org. And they have a whole thing in it, basically character by character.
Oh yeah, there's a gay character. And
it is literally they ripped off and like Michael Berman's character. I mean, it is
wow.
It's almost like they just like we're not going to even try to mask that we're and the.
Do you think maybe that's why they switched writers so many times?
Maybe.
Because they're like, oh, shit, we got to cover our tracks.
I don't know.
I just want to know who's responsible. I wonder if it was Brian Fuller that was responsible for it. I haven't read the article. I've scrolled through it, but I didn't read it.
The article doesn't say a ton other than this is, like I said, 2014 Tardigrades was the video game. And the game was a civilization on Earth 20,000 years ago, and that the people are on the verge of interstellar travel using giant space life forms, tardigrades, to travel anywhere in the universe. And basically, the only difference is that instead of a spore drive, that the tardigrade would kind of like wrap themselves around or
it snuggle you.
Yeah, snuggle you. Hey, aww. Hey, buddy.
The friendly tardigrade. I mean, like, they were talking about in early drafts of Discovery that the tardigrade would actually be a character and, like, have a uniform and have a station. I'm
that
just like.
It's hilarious.
I want to see. There just wasn't budget enough to make the tardigrade more human like, I suppose.
And
Doug Jones, get that makeup on.
and if you look at. And they had. Now, this is all like. What do you consider that when it's like looks like an old like Nintendo style? Is there a certain theme like when the graphics look kind of like maybe a little more advanced from like Super Mario But
I mean, like, it's just capturing a retro aesthetic.
That's what it looks like.
Pixel art.
Yeah, that's what
instead of 3D graphics.
That's the style that you're looking. But if you look at the pictures of like the main character that's kind of based off Michael Berman's character is named Yolanda. She's African American or African whatever, and she like you said, there's like point by point, all the characters are almost exactly the same, and you're just like, huh,
that's
kind of terrible that you just literally ripped somebody's game off. So
I think that's like shocking. I mean, like, I wish it was shocking. I guess I was going to say this. I wish it was shocking.
How could you be so bereft of ideas? Now, I want to just point this out. These writers, these producers, this is what they're paid for. This is your job. And I understand you draw from certain things as well to give you ideas, but you don't, like, literally rip things off point by point. You might take little, like, nuggets of ideas and then work on them, mm-hmm. you know?
Right.
But that you would literally just say, like, oh, I'm going to take out every one of these points and just do it. So, anyways, I heard a rumor years and years ago, and I was doing when I was looking this story up, I was looking for it. I couldn't find it on the web. But if anybody knows about this, I'd be curious if they know anything more, further information. There was a story years ago during Deep Space Nine that somebody, or maybe it was actually Next Gen. That somebody completely ripped off somebody's ideas off of the Cardassian race. That somebody completely ripped them off. Somebody had all these sketches and drawings of this race, and then somebody just took off with that idea. I could be wrong about that. Or maybe somebody was talking out of their ass. This is going back early 90s.
I mean, with character designs, I can see, like, maybe someone sketched something similar, mm-hmm. or maybe someone was trying to sketch something that would a Star Trek thing would be, and then start they can kind of sketch the same thing. Because, I mean, honestly, most aliens in Star Trek always follow a humanoid thing. There's only so much you can do on a mm-hmm. purely just humanoid level, mm-hmm. With makeup and stuff. So, I mean, sure. like to a point, that kind of thing would be like, oh, maybe, you know, that's forgivable. Maybe right. that's something that could have happened, you know, by chance.
Right.
But this, like, plot line for plot line, character for character, using the tardigrades to transport you instantly through space.
It's pretty stunning.
Like, it's oh, man.
I mean, that's your damn job. Your job is to write and come up new ideas, and you're a room full of people. How bereft of you are of any ideas or original thought are you?
So we're going to take this indie game, Tardigrade. No one's going to know because it's an indie game and no one plays indie games. But
people
maybe
do.
Maybe it was a of course some people do. CBS writer or something. And he was like, they're never going to know. And then they're going to get sued and ha!
Yeah, but CBS is actually getting sued right now because of this.
Well yeah, but that's kind of like...
Well, yeah, whoever that writer was or whoever came up with it, if it was Brian Fuller or if it was some other writers that, like, you know, took those ideas, or one writer that took those mm-hmm. ideas and kind of... I don't know. I wonder where that goes. Obviously, the people who made the video game Tardigrades probably aren't super rich like CBS, so CBS can probably pay them off to shut
right.
that go away.
Yeah, but still, just the fact that it's happening is really ludicrous. That it's just, I mean, sure, it's a fun idea, but I mean, like, couldn't you have changed it a little bit? Like, because I honestly, with the characters being, like, you know, ripped off, what's exactly?
Literally ripping off the character, like, it's hard to even imagine that it's so that close.
It feels indefensible.
Yeah.
I mean, just from the little I know about it and some of the
it's
things
It's not like
I've
they
read.
Took the tardigrade idea as an interdimensional character. They just took character per character, and then they threw the tardigrade in there as well. I mean, like, what the fuck?
For funsies.
Yeah.
I think it's crazy that they actually used the same name.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's just a space tardigrade. I mean, they're both off of...
Well, tardigrades are literal...
Are real things.
Are tiny, tiny, not microscopic, but very tiny...
They're near microscopic. I mean, we see them in Ant-Man and the Wasp, if you've seen that.
Yeah.
That was kind of fun.
Yeah.
The tardigrades were getting ready to eat them.
Yeah,
water bears are also known.
Yeah, they're water bears, right. And they had a... If you watch that newer version of the Cosmos, they have a segment on tardigrades there and how they can... I mean, they're pretty amazing. They can withstand...
lots of radiation, no food, no water.
Right.
You know, so it's just like they're next to indestructible.
And they've been around forever. Before the dinosaurs kind of thing.
So I don't understand why some titty twisters made the one in Star Trek Discovery so upset. Since they can take anything, but a little bit of titty twisting and they're going to expunge all their water.
Obviously, you want to get out of there.
No more titty twisters. I think I'd probably try to expunge my water, too, if I got that too many times.
I'm done, dude.
Done. Over. But yeah, disappointing. Disappointing to CBS. I'm glad it looks like season 2 is going in a different direction.
Won't be any tardigrades.
I mean, maybe.
Maybe
not.
He'll return. I mean,
maybe he'll come back and hug Stamets. He'll come back and that's how Hugh's going to come back.
Oh, Hugh's going to be the tardigrade.
Hugh's going to be the tardigrade.
And then he'll hug him game.
And then he'll turn back into Hugh after they've hugged for a little while.
Oh, so, it'll be like Ghost. Did you ever see the movie Ghost?
Yeah.
With Whoopi Goldberg and Swayze? Mm-hmm. So if you think about it, just for a second, that movie Ghost, I thought about this like maybe 2 months ago. So Whoopi Goldberg is conjuring Patrick Swayze's like spirit. And when they have that like romantic moment, and you're like, "Oh, my darling," you know, Unchained Melody's playing, and they're like hugging because Demi Moore is kind of making out with Whoopi Goldberg.
Well, you know, that's kind of fun.
I mean, I just gotta put that out there. I mean, they romanticize it.
I mean, Whoopi looked good back in the day, like back in Next Gen. I mean, she definitely looked good.
Not she awesome in The Color Purple, but.
Demi Moore still looks good.
Well, Demi Moore wasn't in The Color Purple, but
no.
But anyway, anyways, whatever. I just my mind went there at one point.
Don't you love train of thought?
Yeah, you're like wait. So
and then it connects, and then it
Patrick
is this,
Swayze
and then what?
Wasn't really physically there, so that was Whoopi Goldberg she was kissing. I was like, ew. That's kind of weird. All right.
I'm going to have to rewatch Ghost.
Well, I don't know if it's really worth watching. Looking back, it's kind of a stupid movie.
I know I've seen it, but I don't remember
that
seeing
is
it.
Like, what, a cusp of late 80s, early 90s or something like that. Anyways, but we are not here to talk about Ghost. sometimes we do talk about Whoopi Goldberg, but we are here to talk about the Tholian Web.
The Tholian Web.
Tholian Web is original series, season 3, episode 9, and it first aired November 15th, 1968.
Back in the 60s.
This is before I was born, if you can believe it.
Yeah.
So this is an interesting episode because this is the beginning of a lot of chain of events that happens in Star Trek over time.
Mm-hmm. So many things tie back to this episode.
This is the seed.
I mean, this episode is mostly interesting for that. Not so much.
It's a throwaway episode.
It is very much a throwaway episode. If everything didn't try to link back to it, and like honestly, like I was a lot more excited going into it than I was after I watched the episode because I was like, oh,
it's just kind of there.
It's not a great episode.
It's season 3. There's only a few good episodes in season 3. This one's passable. You can watch it, not go like, oh, I want to tear my eyes out.
Well, you know, it's not a terrible episode of season 3. It's just there, I guess. Yeah, it's just, I mean, like.
Well, let's get in the episode.
Ghost Kirk.
Ghost Kirk.
Oh, speaking of ghosts.
Ghost. Oh.
So when Kirk is
my
kissing Uhura.
Darling. Yeah, it's Whoopi Goldberg instead. Whoopi Goldberg's in Uhura's room.
Yes.
I'm listening. So, we start off with the Enterprise is searching for the USS Defiant, which vanished without a trace in unsurveyed space some 3 weeks ago. So we have a pensive crew on the bridge keeping watch, and while they're doing that, they have a visual contact of what ends up being the Defiant, but sensors can't pick it up. Spock points out that space is unraveling or coming apart or something to that nature.
I love, since the view screen's obviously not a window in TOS, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Chekhov's like, there's a Defiant.
Well, it's just like, but technically their sensors have to pick it up if it's coming on the view screen.
It's photons. It's photons bouncing off something and refracting off your eyes. Yes, it has to.
But they say they couldn't find it on sensors, but they're looking at it. But I mean, if the sensors
maybe they were thinking sensors more like radar.
Oh,
yeah, like
I guess
seeing a physical thing.
But I mean, maybe in Discovery, the Enterprise will have a window, so maybe that'll be all retconned.
Go shit.
I don't know. I didn't like how it was like kind of glowing.
You don't like the green glow?
Well, yeah, because like if you're coming up on a ship and you're like, maybe we should board that. If it's glowing green, maybe you should not board that.
I love how they want to send all the senior staff to like the ship that's like not there. It's like just send a bunch of red shirts to the ship that's not
Scotty,
there.
Scotty, beam me to the Go ship.
Again, if the sensors aren't working, how are they able to get a transporter locked?
They were in their spacesuits, so if it wasn't really there, if they couldn't physically,
they'd just beam out in the space, I guess.
They'd just be floating out in space, like, we're just floating in space.
But still, like, if you can't detect it, how are you able to beam to it?
Dare to boldly go where no one has gone before.
That explains everything. Go ahead.
All right. So anyways, actually, which was really stunning about this to me more than anything, more than the Go ship, Holly, was how long this teaser lasts in the very beginning. It has got to be at least 8 to 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Usually it's just a quick, like, 2 minute, 3 minute little shot, and then it's like, dun, 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 and then you're off to the...
Off to the races. But, yeah. Like, actually, Discovery's got them all beat. They had, like, a 15-minute one on, like, was it Wolf in the Fold?
Maybe.
It was around that episode where there was, like, a 15-minute stinger before they showed.
You're like,
I was like, where's the opening credits? Did they forget?
When's this going to come? Yeah. So, anyways, so they're down the ship. Obviously, they found that everyone is dead on the ship. The Defiance captain has been choked out by one of his officers.
A mutiny. Starfleet has never had a mutiny before.
Has there ever been a mutiny? And Spock goes,
nope.
Never on record. See, right.
The record was expunged. But
the record was expunged, and maybe they put that in just to give someone an idea that this has never happened before. You know, like, we've never done this before, so I don't know. But very interesting. Anyway, so we go in after our commercial break. They're on the ship. The captain's been strangled, and Bones says that the captain's neck has been broken. That's how hard he was strangling him.
That's one way to kill a captain.
Yes. I'm gonna strangle
you. No more yes sirs.
Yeah.
No more.
Squeeze the shit out of your neck. So anyways...
Your neck's fat. I'm trying to fix it for you.
So Kirk tells McCoy to go to sick bay and Chekhov to go down to life support and to engineering. Chekhov checks out both of them and just everyone's dead. They've been all bludgeoned. You can see Chekhov's a little freaked out by the whole thing. And at one point, Chekhov becomes disorientated and he starts getting woozy and dizzy. And you see the room kind of spinning a little out of focus for him. He heads back up to the bridge. Then we have McCoy. McCoy's down sick bay. There's a lot of dead people in sick bay. And we have basically he tries to touch one of the dead people. His hand goes through them, and his hand goes through a desk. And at this point, he's saying the ship's just dissolving. And Kirk orders them to come back to the bridge. When they get up, they say, we better get out of here, basically. Bones took all his readings. I'm assuming Spock took some readings up on the bridge, and they're going to beam back over. But, of course, there's something wrong with the transporter.
There's always,
Something wrong with the transporter.
Always something wrong with the transporter.
Because plot device.
Yeah. So,
like, that's the thing is with Discovery, like, nothing's, like, gotten broken yet. I'm waiting for something to go wrong with Discovery.
Well, the spore drive has had problems.
Oh, right.
Only because the tardigrade was going to go away, but then they just injected Stamets with that, and then it's fine. But, like, we haven't had any transporter issues on Discovery yet. We haven't had any warp drive issues with Discovery yet. Like,
they haven't done a lot of... They haven't taxed... Other than the multiple jump thing on Discovery, when they're trying to map out the cloaking device algorithm or whatever. They haven't tasked the Discovery too hard from what I can tell.
We're
not on screen.
We're bound to get something like that in season two with them blowing the budget on the first five episodes. There's got to be like a, we got to fix the ship episode.
The power's out in the ship. It's just a dark room.
Something like that. Yeah.
It's a whole episode.
There's got to be an episode like that in season two.
So anyways, we have the transporter's not working. Scotty's basically saying, you know, Kirk's like, when did this happen? And he's like, well, we're in this like space and it's messing up the whole ship. So we can only beam three over. So Kirk orders Chekov, McCoy, and Spock to beam over. He'll stay and wait. They beam over, and after a very long, like probably 30-second or more segment of them beaming those three over, they go to beam over Kirk, and Kirk doesn't get beamed over because just the Defiant completely disappears into out of their space, and they've realized the ship has gone into a parallel universe. And
I just love how they can just deduce that by their sensors that don't work.
Well, I mean, Spock kind of makes it. This was actually, I thought this was interesting for, we're talking 1968, a TV show like Star Trek. Spock starts going into ideas of parallel universes.
But to be fair, this is after Mirror Darkly, so.
No, I know, but I mean, it's that he was saying we occupy space of multiple universes at the same time.
Yeah, I'm a multiverse theory, which is interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I know the multiverse was long before, but this is, you know, for a TV show in the 1968, that's kind of cool that was just kind of thrown out there. Anyway, so they try to get this Kirk over, but, you know, basically Scotty says, there's nothing to grab onto. Kirk's gone. And they're back on the bridge. Spock basically has this plan that within 2 hours, his computer calculates that there'll be another interface. And at that time, the Enterprise should be able to grab a hold of Kirk one more time to get him out. The problem is that the ship is currently drifting into this interspatial, like where the fabric of space is kind of falling apart, and they're having issues as well with the ship. The power is getting messed up. There's all sorts of issues. Technology is going.
Yeah, they said the space is messing with all the systems. That's what was happening with the transporter initially. That they said it was fusing stuff for reasons.
And while Spock is explaining,
parts were disappearing.
There's a. My booch disappeared.
My window disappeared in my quarters, and I got sucked, blown out into space.
That'd be funny.
Just a random red shirt. Just have a red shirt die. It's not enough to have the entire dead crew of the Defiant. Let's just kill a random red shirt.
It'd be funny if we just threw that in. Had nothing to do with nothing anything with else.
So a window went out. It's just like, oh, we lost a bulkhead on the edge of the ship. Oh.
Well,
Crewman Gary died.
There goes Jim.
Gary's dead, man. So this is when Spock starts making the explanation about the parallel universes. And this is where Chekov goes crazy. He gets space madness. And when he gets the space madness, he starts screaming and attacking Sulu.
Flipping his chair.
Flips the chair over. And a couple people to restrain him. And then we have Spock give him the old Vulcan nerve pinch to knock him out. And he is sent down to sick bay where he's tied up for a bed for most of the
for most of the episode. It's great. McCoy's in the kinky stuff.
Well, and then everyone's like, well, this must have to do with what exact same thing what happened to Defiant. And Spock and McCoy have these discussion that if they can get away from the space, maybe it'll be better. But, of course, Spock wants to see if he can retrieve Captain Kirk. During this time, the Tholians show up, and it's one Tholian ship, and asking what they're doing in this area. Apparently, they claim the space for the Tholian assembly.
One Tholian ship, shame on you. Two Tholian ships, shame on me.
That's right. So he says, we're attempting a rescue of a ship. He's like, we don't see any ships out here.
There's an interdimensional space here. Give us like an hour and change.
We'll be out of here. So they said, we'll give you 1 hour. Don't play any tricks. So
they should have asked for more.
I know. They should have just padded a little bit.
Give me a day. Give me
one day.
Give me a Earth day.
Well, during this time, the one of McCoy's guys go crazy. One of his lab assistants and attacks McCoy in the lab. So
Chekhov is spreading that space madness.
Yes. Apparently, the space madness has little to do with any kind of like contagion disease. It's basically because the fabric of space is falling apart. It's affecting brain somehow. Mm-hmm. So part of their sanity cells inside their brain are disappearing.
Sanity cells.
I didn't feel like it was just explained very well. I was just like waiting for an explanation as to why are they getting better and what happened. But yeah, no.
No, there's
no. There was no real solid information there.
No, there
Klingon
wasn't.
Poison fixes space madness, though.
Nerve gas.
Poison, nerve gas, tomato, tomato.
All right. Well, so
I bet a mech as well as scotch.
So
that was a good line. Yeah. I really enjoyed that.
I'll let you know.
He just takes the whole giant flask. He's like, fuck my little cup. I'm going to take the whole thing.
I
need a scotch mixer.
I'll let you know.
He wants to get super cured.
Yeah. He's just passed out. He's passed out in his quarters.
Half the things half gone.
Anyways, so yeah, so Spock is... and Spock also brings out the point that Kirk's only got like 3.6 hours left in his environmental suit. So he doesn't have long either. So after that, he's going to die. So after the 2 hours is up, Tholians just start firing on the Enterprise. And Spock makes a little comment, the renowned Tholian punctuality.
He's dealt with the Tholians before, I suppose.
So Spock doesn't want to attack, but he puts phaser locks on the Tholians. And during that time, they take a couple shots of the Enterprise, and Scotty calls up and says, I don't know what's going on up there, but if that ship keeps on hitting us, we're not going to be around for too much longer. You better do something about it. And yeah. I think he says, I know you don't like using those phasers, but maybe you should do something about it. So Spock does end up shooting the Tholian ship. The Tholian ship is incapacitated for a moment. And at that time, McCoy comes up and just chastises Spock.
Why would you do this, putting us in risk and danger?
Why are you attacking the Tholians?
You know, the Tholians make these great webs that kill everything inside of them, right?
And we have this strange dynamic between Kirk and Spock that we see them fight.
Oh, Bones and Spock.
Bones and Spock. We see them fight often. But this is probably the most aggressive I've seen McCoy.
There's no Kirk here to tone him down.
He's like maybe it's the interspatial stuff that's getting to him.
That's what I felt like through the most of the episode. Yeah, that it was getting to Bones a little bit.
He even points it out and says, the interface must be doing something to me at one point, he says to him. So, but he's extremely aggressive with him. So.
Or he was upset that, you know, Kirk was lost and it was just a human emotion and he was targeting Spock.
True.
A little bit of column A, a little bit of column B.
True. Could be. So Kirk never showed up. They couldn't beam him back. He thinks it might have something to do with the Tholian ship showing up in space, might have thrown something off somehow, and then the phaser fire might have thrown things off.
You think the Tholians would kind of know, like, if this was their territory, that, you know, maybe they know stuff like this is our Bermuda Triangle, guys. Stuff disappears here all the time.
This is our stuff, man.
We lost... one of our pleasure yachts out here once.
That's right.
It was called the Titanic.
The what?
Titanic.
Titanic?
Titanic.
All right. That's good.
It went down with all of its crew and Rose. And Jack.
Okay, so during that time, another Tholian ship shows up. And they start weaving their Tholian web. I gotta say, this has got to be the slowest freaking weapon I've ever freaking seen.
I lost track of how much time they're just sitting there, like talking, like trigger. It feels like it's hours.
I think it's close to technically, this whole episode takes place. After Kirk's loss, within 3-some hours, so like 3.5 hours.
It feels so much longer because they're like, yeah, we'll do this.
So they wait the 1 hour, and so they've got maybe an hour and a half that it takes them to build this Tholian web.
God, I feel like it's longer.
Like, what were they going to do
it's
with
it? It's not
that
a very effective weapon.
No, it's extremely effective once it's done. And like, how they get out of it just didn't make any sense. They turned their engines back on, and somehow they're out of it.
It does make sense if you think about it for a moment.
They did a spore jump with the Enterprise.
They did a spore jump. Yes, exactly. So they're building the web, and then we have this.
Because they need the second Tholian ship to build the web,
right?
Because they're like spiders; it comes up both the ship's asses.
Yes, I guess so.
It's like a double dong. It's like, but it stretches.
What you just
I just watching End of Requiem for a Dream.
Oh my god.
I will never forget those scenes in that movie. That movie was horrifying. I've only seen it once, and I don't ever want to see it again.
It's scary.
It never leaves you. Have you seen that movie, Holly?
Excuse me.
I take that as a yes.
That is a no.
Oh.
But from the sounds of it, I really don't
know. No, you need to see Requiem for a Dream.
You see it once, and you'll never forget it, and you'll never need to see it again.
This movie was like a fruitcake.
Will I ever forgive you for recommending this?
Probably not.
I'm not saying it's a good movie. I'm saying it's one you'll never forget.
It had some interesting points, but that's about it.
It deals a lot with addiction.
Right. Mm. So we have a Kirk memorial service, and Spock kind of just gives a litany of back and forth of actually what everything he said. Everything that has been done during that time since Kirk was lost. And Spock just basically says, I shall now attempt to voice the quality of respect and admiration Captain Kirk commanded. Each of you must evaluate the loss in your privacy of your own thoughts. And Scotty calls the people to observe a moment of silence and then just tells them to get lost.
But one guy goes berserk and then they all have to restrain him.
Of course. Well, there's always one guy who goes berserk.
One guy's like,
Kirk, why did he have to die? You know, I remember seeing this as a kid and I just thought the whole thing was based on that the whole crew would go crazy if they didn't have Captain Kirk. That was like my takeaway the whole time. Oh, so the crew goes crazy if they don't have the captain. That was my takeaway as a kid watching this.
It should have been. I think that makes the episode better.
It's kind of funny, though.
Yeah.
So, after the crew's dismissed, McCoy basically says that, tells Spock, you know, Kirk gave us one last order. We have to listen to this tape.
And then they argue and fight over whether they should watch it or not. And they finally do.
And then even McCoy just is cutting Spock down, even before he puts the tape in the machine. He goes, take your time, Spock. I guess that Vulcan immunity will keep your Vulcan physiology will keep you immune to all this while we all go crazy. So Kirk leaves us a nice message basically saying, you know, I assume that you're in a dire situation. If I'm dead, Spock, you need to basically use every scrap that you have of logic and any intuitive sense you have to be a good captain and get you out of this jam. And if you don't find it in McCoy. And says McCoy, says, I know sometimes, you know, you might think that because he's a Vulcan, you know, he probably doesn't make mistakes like we do, but, you know, he's fallible and you got to respect him as a captain, even though he will make mistakes. So kind of like readjusted their course right there.
Yeah, yeah, just like gave them the talk.
And you know what?
Play and be nice.
That little, like, small intermission of Kirk kind of made you kind of hit the reset button. And even just it made you feel better after watching it because you're like, because it was been so intense between those two. And they're just, mm-hmm. like, fighting constantly. And so it was interesting.
I felt like that scene, though, mm-hmm. Kind of affirms what I was feeling about why Bones was acting so crazy. I feel like he was just ready to accept it, but not really accept it,
sure.
and fight about it. And Spock was like, I do not accept it. I'm not going to watch this. We're going to get the captain back.
Yeah, that's how I felt. I thought Spock was desperately trying to get the captain back.
Right.
So, I thought that was interesting. Next we have the, they basically say, hey, we got jobs to do. Let's get this done. Meanwhile, Uhura's in her quarters wearing her...
in her nightie.
Wearing her disco
space
clothes.
Space moo-moo.
Her disco... I like how she puts the chain on, too. Like, where are you going? Where are you going?
She's going bowling.
Maybe she is there.
She's going bowling.
I'm going bowling.
But then she runs in the ghost of Whoopi Goldberg.
Whoopi Goldberg shows up.
In her quarters.
My darling.
Clementine.
That is not the song. How do you not know Unchained Melody?
Practice.
I hunger for your touch.
Nope.
You don't know the song. Oh my God.
Seriously?
I don't understand.
David.
What?
I just don't know.
Don't know how I'm a living person.
I don't know how you don't know Unchained Melody. It's like one of the better songs ever written in probably the 50 years or 60 some years, and I don't know, whatever.
It's a great song. Wow.
I've probably heard, I just can't recall it.
But that's the song that they play in Ghost when Patrick Swayze and Demi Moore are kind of making out, but it's actually Whoopi Goldberg that they're making out with. So that's they don't really show Whoopi Goldberg making out with Demi Moore, but yeah.
It's implied.
It's not implied, it's but if you think about it, it is. It's exactly what's happening. So
therefore, it's implied.
Yes, I guess so. So anyways, so we see a disembodied Kirk floating in Uhura's room.
Captain Kirk, I knew you were alive.
I knew it. And
he's not just in the room, he's like in the mirror.
He's in
and
the
that's
mirror.
Just creepy.
Yeah, it is a little creepy. It's like Bloody Mary.
Go into your bedroom and like look in the mirror and say Bloody Kirk. Bloody Kirk.
Have you ever done that? Bloody Mary in the mirror? Have you tried to do that?
No.
Have you done you've done it? Did you see anything?
No.
Aren't you supposed to do it with a candle?
Yeah, I think the lights are supposed to be
off. I did it with both. I did it in pitch black, and then I did it with a candle. Nothing.
Nah, I just knew Bloody Mary would show up. Queen.
I was kind of like daring her not to, though. I'm like, yeah, what are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
What are you going to do, kill me?
I'm going to crawl out of that mirror.
Maybe you get pulled into the mirror.
That'd be even worse.
Yeah.
I don't want to live in a two-dimensional plane.
And then you're like the General Zod in Superman 2 when they're in the mirror. Like, anyways, so that's what you heard.
She runs down the hall and faints in Bone's arms. I saw him. I saw him.
I saw Kirk. I saw him. I saw him. Says, of course you did, dear.
Of course. We all see what we want to see in a time of need.
Let me.
This is giving more credence to your idea that like people go crazy when Kirk's not around.
I thought it was. But instead, he just straps her to a bed. So.
Yeah.
David, Q David. No? No Woody comeback?
I just said kinky. Yeah.
That's all you got.
Well.
All right.
This, you know, I went too far earlier, just kind of reining back a little bit, I suppose.
All right, all right. I gave you.
After Requiem for a Dream and Double Dildos with the
authority. I gave you carte blanche. So, so they cart Uhura off to the Federation Funny Farm, and at this point,
that's where Bones grew up.
So next we see Scotty. Scotty's down in the engineering, and he sees Kirk floating up there.
I seen him. I seen the captain.
I said, plain as standing in front of me.
He's a little see-through, but you know, and then Spock's like, come to the bridge.
And I've been drinking a lot of scotch. You've been working me hard these last 2 hours. I'm not going to lie.
I wonder how many places he's got scotch stacked
in
the engine
room. Oh, you know he's got just booze all over the engine room.
You know that thing Kirk pulls out to beat Khan with?
Yeah.
That one of them is just like filled with whiskey.
Oh, yeah,
it's just,
yeah.
It's not even like,
I'm surprised
like
it didn't shatter with glass because he's just a flask.
Yeah, but you know, one of them is a flask, not that one.
Yeah, that one wasn't.
That,
but the one next to it
exactly.
was. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Anyways. Then, as he goes up there, Bones is up there as well, and this is where Bones starts getting kind of violent with Spock. He's getting a little touch of the space madness, and he faints in Spock's arms, but right after we get Kirk.
On the bridge.
On the bridge, space Kirk.
What was he saying? He was saying,
I drank a giant pot of coffee before I got in the suit, and now
I gotta pee.
I'm swimming in urine.
It looks
fluidic
like he was
space.
Fluidic space. How come he just didn't end up in the mirror universe on the Defiant and get caught by the Tholians and Jonathan Archer.
This is all interesting things, but we don't know the answer. And we don't even know, actually. So during that phaser fight, they said that possibly the Defiant got blown out of that area somehow. Like it knocked it out of that course with the phaser fire. So possibly the it was knocked into a different parallel universe as well. So. But nothing's really explained very well.
No, not really. And that, the only reason Kirk is floating around is because he was in the transporter beam, kind of.
They caught him. They were pulling him towards them, and he's in like a pattern, and he didn't get knocked away, so whatever.
Yeah, he didn't get knocked away with the ship.
So, yeah, Kirk's saying, like, you know, shut the stove off. I left the stove on.
Stovokor.
Stovokor. I'm in Stovokor.
Get me out. I'm not a Klingon. I don't like blood wine.
So.
It turns my stomach.
So, anyways.
You know, it's goth blood, right?
That's great.
And targ blood.
And at this point. This is when they realize that Kirk's still alive and that they can. Spock calculates when the next interspatial thing will happen, which is like 20 minutes or something like that. Kirk's desperately out of air, so he's not going to live much longer. So their plan is, the Tholian web is almost completely constructed. And by the way, if we haven't mentioned, the reason why the Enterprise didn't fly away is because when Spock was letting the Tholians shoot him, they kind of like messed up their engines. And it was going to take them a little bit to get the ship repaired. So Scotty's been furiously working down in the engine room. Anyways, the plan is that the Tholian web is constructed, and when this pocket of interspatial space opens up, they're going to fly right into it, and they're going to try to pull Kirk along with them, and because they're going through interspatial space, they will fly right through the Tholian web, and they will come out the other end, hopefully back in their own universe. During this time, McCoy has a hypo spray to shoot Kirk, and they're waiting in to beam Kirk. And once they go through, the plan is enacted, they do go through the web, and they end up like almost 3 parsecs away, like 2-point-something parsecs away from where they originally were. And they get Kirk. Kirk's beamed back down aboard, and he's alive and well.
Yay! And then
we have a cute little ending. Did you listen to my tape?
What? No, they both lied to Kirk.
Even Spock.
Is this before Vulcans cannot lie?
I think Spock's learning.
I thought the same thing.
I think this is where Spock is learning to lie for certain purposes.
There's no good reason to lie at this point, though.
It's good to get a little jab at Kirk. Kirk needs it. Yeah. He needs to be taken down a peg or two. Especially after his suit was all filled with urine.
I'm sure,
somebody had to clean that.
I'm sure they were just embarrassed that they were actually called out.
As Spock would say, I'm a Vulcan. I have no ego to bruise.
Right. Well,
seems like he's got an ego in this episode. Because he's like, man, no, we didn't look at that.
No, I
thought that was
tape?
Funny.
Tape? Tape?
Well, it was my last orders.
We didn't find time or something.
Yeah, we're too busy. And Kirk was
like, Spock didn't want to find the time. Bones made him. Yeah. So, I mean, like, it was.
You will honor the captain's last order. Okay, so that is the Tholian web wrapped up. Holly, what did you think of this episode? I'm throwing it right
at you.
Well,
I think I have some questions left.
You have some questions?
Question. So can you please explain, like, you may not be able to give me exactly, because I feel like there's a lot of, well, we're not sure, going on. What does the Tholian web do exactly?
So it's either, it's a force field, but I got the impression that they were going to kind of drag the ship along with it, like a net.
Well, no, in the Enterprise, we see the Tholian web, it basically just crushes the ship to death.
Oh, is that right?
Once it's complete, it just crushes the ship and it destroys it.
Okay.
But and that episode is after this, so like it doesn't explain.
It's before this.
In this episode, right?
Oh no, Tholian Enterprise episode takes place before this.
Well, okay, yeah. So Enterprise obviously
is a prequel.
Is a prequel, but obviously Tholian Web, the original series, was the original series. So
right.
Yeah, it's just that the Tholian, we see that Tholian Web destroy something in the Enterprise two-parter, which also deals with the Defiant, because they find the Defiant and this futuristic ship, and they're all blown away by it, and they take it for the Empire, and Captain Hoshi Sato becomes Empress. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't feel it was explained very well in this episode.
Well, no, they didn't. We have no idea what the threat of the Tholians was in this episode,
right?
Because like they didn't seem scared. No one seemed to worry about it. They didn't say what it would do.
Right.
This
it
episode
was very
does
blasé, like.
Well,
let them build it.
Yeah. What's the worst they can do?
Right. I liked the space suits. Those were fun.
Those are fun. We see them
very
here and there.
Slowly.
Not a ton, but we do see them. Like, I think in Whom Gods Destroy.
Yeah, we see them again in Whom Gods Destroy, which is later in the third season. These are different than the spacesuits that they wore earlier in the show.
Yeah, not the red ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. And apparently the spacesuits were, like, really difficult to get in and out. And, like, during filming, they had to take them completely off to go to the bathroom.
Mm. Of course.
Yeah, they couldn't just do it. So it, like, made things super long just to get in and out, just because I got to go, because, you know.
And so. Didn't you guys mention that, like, early seasons, it was, like, the studio didn't have AC and it was just sweltering?
I'm sure.
Oh, you know, and the studio lights and everything. Yeah, I'm sure it was.
Yeah.
And because, like, those lights back in the 60s were really intense.
Yeah, they weren't.
Right.
They weren't, like,
not energy efficient.
Yeah,
sure.
No, they were just, like, burning.
Get sunburned.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think what other my other thoughts were. I don't know.
Did you like the episode?
I felt like I needed more explanations. Did I like the episode? I don't know. I felt like it was kind of like watching a cat chase its tail. That's like, I felt like there was a lot of movement. Mm-hmm. But there was no real, like, obviously.
No, nothing happened.
Like, no real no real threat.
Yeah.
Well, there was a threat, but it wasn't.
Like, it's unknown. Like, they didn't say exactly what it would do, or, you know, it felt.
Well, Spock only made the insinuation, is once this web is completed, we'll never see home again.
Oh, yeah, I guess they know, though.
So. And then they did a close-up on Uhura for no reason. You're like.
No more Uganda.
Uganda. I don't think she's Uganda. Isn't she Swahili?
Oh, no more Swahili. Yeah, I'm sorry. Swahili. My mistake.
I don't know if that's totally correct, but I thought she spoke Swahili.
Yeah, because it's the episode with the nomad wipes her in. She's able to speak Swahili immediately, because that's like the her earliest memories,
right,
I guess.
Right.
So, yeah.
This is, to me, this is interesting, because when you go back to the Galileo 7, we see Spock in command, and he, although he's successful in saving the shuttlecraft crew, he makes tons of mistakes, and the crew hates him the whole time. This
right.
time, the crew hates him, but he's actually successful. Everything he's done, he's just dealing with a very irate doctor. If you didn't have McCoy there, it wouldn't be so bad.
Yeah. No one else questioned him.
Yeah.
It's just McCoy, but that's McCoy's job, basically.
Just needle him constantly.
Over and over and over again.
Yeah, so. David, what did you think of this episode?
I was a lot more excited going into it, because I know all the things that this episode ties into, right. It ties to, you know, the
Mirror
Enterprise
Darkly.
Two-parters.
Yeah.
It ties into the original Mirror Mirror episode, because we know where this where the Defiant ends up. It ties into Discovery.
Discovery,
the
right.
A couple of the places where canon. But like we're saying at the beginning, this episode just, it's kind of there. Like, it's not super exciting. It's not awful.
You can watch it. It's just one of those things you watch. You're like, all right.
It's there. I mean, I don't know. I just, for the episode being called the Tholian Web, I wish they would have, like, gone more into what the Tholians were and what they did, and, like, more about them. It's like, the Tholians was, like, a subplot to, like, the whole thing.
Yeah, there's, like, especially growing up before Next Gen came around to, like, there's all these speculations on, like, because we got a lot of the Klingons, we got Romulans, but, like, who are the Tholians? They're just, like, this big crystal creature. Like, who are the Gorn? You know, like, all these questions you'd be, like, you just wanted to know. so much about it, and there was nothing.
Never learned more about the Gorn.
Other than just that, those episodes. I mean, we got more.
The Gorn do show up in the Enterprise 2-parter. a Gorn does. It's like lost. It's like hanging out on the Defiant for whatever reason. Yeah, I'd honestly love to see more Tholians.
Well, like you said, we see them in Enterprise.
No, but I mean, I'd love to see them going forward. Like in Discovery, Discovery could do Tholians.
That would be cool.
I would love to see them. And with the budget, they could actually do Tholians awesome.
I thought Enterprise did them pretty good, too, instead of just like just crystal.
Well, they had like the weird CG thing, but it was still like kind of vague. Kind of a vague-looking alien.
How are they going to do it?
I mean, considering what they did with the Klingons, they may not even follow the guidelines set forth in the previous showings of the Tholians.
True enough, they just change them completely.
But the thing is, I mean, like besides the Klingons, all the other alien races they showed in Discovery are really faithful, modern-looking adaptions. The Andorians look amazing. The Tellarites look awesome. I love the tusks and everything.
They did a good job.
And like the nose doesn't look awful anymore. They look seriously like awesome.
Yeah, they did a good
like
job.
It's just the Klingons. They just I don't know why they went off the roads with the Klingons, but everything else they did was amazing. Sarek looked great.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he had his ears and.
The ears weren't
weird. He didn't have a permafrown for like the Romulans. I don't know. So I mean, like Discovery did a really good job with all the other aliens that we're familiar with. So you know, hopefully they'll be faithful with the. I mean, they could do anything they want with the Tholians because the Tholians, like we've only had like two on screen appearances before,
and the Enterprise
one is a little bit. I mean, the shape is sort of the same, but I mean, I just don't remember there being a ton of detail. I mean, I haven't seen the episodes in forever, I don't remember.
They're like kind of walked on these, like, not stalks, but weird.
Like four legs or something like that.
Kind of odd looking, but.
I'd love for them to deal with them more, and with the budget, they could do that. Just with Discovery, they can't do the Gorn, because, I mean, the Gorn were kind of new in Kirk's era, so I mean.
Right.
I mean, I know they have the Gorn skeleton in Lorca's Room of Horrors.
Yes.
But that doesn't make any sense either now.
Now, I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
If you guys are talking about all these possible things that are happening on Discovery, are they even going to be able to continue filming while during this lawsuit? Because then anything that they put out, it could be potential property of someone else.
It's a good question. I don't think it works that way. I think they have to go to court first unless they get some kind of cease and desist right away. But again, you're talking CBS is a huge corporation. They have big lawyers. They're the ones who are going to if it was us doing that, stealing from CBS, we would have a cease and desist with the police showing up to shut us down immediately.
I mean, it's possible
that could happen, but it's very improbable.
Nothing in the news I've seen has hinted that production's slowing down.
In fact, this story is actually it's kind of buried. I don't see it a lot. I don't see it it's not in any big feeds. You know, this is like kind of like buried. And the guy who brought this out for the tardigrade video game that was stolen, he basically people are basically saying, "Look, I know you're bringing this to attention, but you better go radio silent. Don't say anything. Don't talk to anybody about this. Get to your lawyers and make sure you know your ass is covered because you're better. You know,
right.
you're going to war. It's you know David against Goliath kind of thing.
Yeah.
So
very very much so. And you know, I mean, like we said at the top, you know, there's not going to be any." Like there'll probably be a payoff or something like that. I don't think it's going to be enough to halt production.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, it's like small potatoes. Because, I mean, indie developers usually – I don't know how many people have worked on the game. But, I mean, usually indie teams can be as small as one or two people to, like, you know, 15 or 20. I mean, like usually indie teams aren't that big. So it's not a whole lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, your CBS has, like, got, like, you know, their assistant lawyers are probably got the, you know, 15 or 20 of those, you know, and not just their big ones. I mean, you know, it's I don't know. I don't see it slowing down. And the thing is like the lawsuit would be over season one more than anything, because I don't think they're going to continue the tardigrade story. Season two is quite obviously.
No, but the characters are ripoffs.
Yeah.
I mean, sort of.
Yeah.
I mean,
maybe, but I mean, they're at least the storyline is going to be different because it's going to be focused on Spock from what it looks like. So yeah, who knows?
Well,
but of course, the preview could be, you know, throwing us, you know, off completely.
Sure, sure.
Well, What do you think about this episode, Aaron?
Like I said, when I was a kid growing up, I thought this was basically if Kirk wasn't around, the whole crew would go crazy.
That would have been a better storyline.
Kind of hilarious. Kind of hilarious in its own way. I just, you know, it's such a cheesy episode, Kirk floating around, and they're all going, it's the captain! people going crazy, and, you know, I just love space madness. It's always, like, it's always a theme. And
they're suffering from space madness, Kiff.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Kiff. I always love that. I growing up, like I said, before we had Next Gen, the Tholians was just like, what are those guys about? Who are they? It's so cool. It's so different. You know, and it's super alien, not just a little alien. It's really alien. So, like, you was like, what's that?
Yeah, for Star Trek, I mean, that's super.
Yeah, it was
alien.
Very different. And so very interesting growing up with this episode. It was just, I think this episode was cool because it sparked your imagination about different things. We talked about parallel universes, obviously. The weapons, the Tholian web was just weird. Like I said, probably very inefficient, but still very weird. You know, maybe if there was multiple ships, like maybe there was like, you know, 20 ships, maybe they could do it faster.
Oh, sure. As long as they're in even numbers.
So, yeah. So,
you just got to do the double dildo thing to make it work.
But,
David.
You're welcome.
but then it was one of those, I guess I have a soft spot in my heart for it because of those reasons, because it did spark my imagination during that time period. You know, from the 70s into the early 80s until Next Gen. When Next Gen took off, you kind of forgot about the episodes because you had all the new episodes to watch.
All the new ones, yeah.
So you were like, you forgot about all the old stuff that you were into. And lastly, it's just that this is tied in so much. Like, it's this thread that's been, you know, needled through the fabric of
most Star Trek.
A lot of Star Trek, you know, into Enterprise and, you know, now into Discovery. I really thought we were going to see the Defiant in Discovery.
I mean, was so sad we didn't.
And it was weird they did all those modifications. It was very strange looking.
Well, but I mean, they had 100 years to mess with it. So, I mean, it kind of makes sense.
I guess, but it was odd still no matter what.
It also should make all the ships, like having all that advanced technology 100 years earlier, it seems like all the ships in the Mirror Universe have been way more advanced than the ones in our universe.
Right, right.
Like, they could have been poised to invade. Like, that would be fun, the fun storyline where the Mirror Universe, if they had, like, you know, actually gone in more advanced than ours, like, just they invade the Breakthrough Universe. That'd be fun.
But if you think about it, they had it for 100 years. They had the technology of the Defiant from Enterprise time into, and they have, other than just reverse engineering Defiant's technology, you know, they really don't, like, they'd never made that many bigger, that big leaps.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I feel like they should have made a lot more leaps when they had that technology early on. Sure, they can reverse engineer it, but I mean, that's a springboard for all whole sorts of new technologies that they could have adapted sooner, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a missed opportunity, but I mean, the Mirror Universe doesn't make sense on a lot of reasons. Like we talked about back when we did talk about Discovery and how does it even function? Like, how can, like, this, you know, just all the backstabbing, like, all the backstabbing maybe prevents them from...
Yeah, from
technological advancement. Who knows?
Exactly. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead first.
No, go ahead.
Okay. I had a request.
Sure.
Because, you know, I just watched Discovery, and we actually kind of talked about this when we were talking about Discovery, but I haven't seen all of the previous Star Trek. I love Star Trek. I've seen, you know, mostly Next Gen, but it would be awesome if you guys could just, like, put out maybe not even a timeline, just, like, all of the episodes that have to do with the Tholian web, and that would give me a better understanding of, I mean, you know, the Mirror Universe, I think.
Yeah, so that would be Mirror Darkly for the
Enterprise.
Is it Mirror Mirror?
I think it's Mirror Mirror for TOS. And Mirror Darkly part one and two for Enterprise, which is season 4.
I don't remember the Tholian episode for the Enterprise.
Same one. It's the Mirror Darkly episode.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
And then just jump forward into Discovery, where they are in
Mirror Universe,
and they have they show briefly a picture of the Defiant.
Yeah, the wireframe of it.
Wireframe,
right?
On the bridge.
So, so basically, all you have to do is
just
watch
four episodes.
Yeah,
Mirror Darkly 1 and 2, and you've already watched this episode.
So that's basically.
So where does this episode fall? Like,
so chronologically, for being filmed, it's Mirror Mirror, the original TOS episode where they go to the Mirror Universe, and then this episode. Mm-hmm. That we just watched, and then Mirror Darkly 1 and 2 for Enterprise, chronologically being filmed, and then Enterprise.
Discovery,
where they jump into the Mirror Universe and they.
That's episode 9 or 10 or something like that.
Yeah, and it's just interesting that they thread all that together. I really was hoping we'd see the Defiant at some point because that would.
Me too. It was such a tease to show the wireframe, and it's like, oh, come on, guys!
You didn't show it. You bastard.
It's got like weapons built into the nacelles now, gets like direct warp power going to those weapons. That's awesome. Yeah. That'd been fun to see.
Yeah, so it's a cool episode that it's a seed to all these other episodes, and it obviously was probably never planned that way. It was just
it was just a
weird.
This was a throwaway episode, and they just tied it into so much with Enterprise and adding more to it with Discovery. So I mean, it's fun that they did that, but it's like they're making this episode way better in theory than it is in actuality.
Again, like I said, growing up, it's not a great episode for all the points that you've brought up. And like McCoy is pretty damn annoying during this whole episode, but it is one of those episodes that sparked your imagination during that period when I was, you know, watching it.
Right.
It's got great sci-fi concepts in it, without a doubt. They're just not explained super well. Some of the plot points are real iffy. Mm-hmm. And
oh, absolutely, yeah.
But you know, overall, in the context of things, it's great because it does have all these seeds to everything else, and that's what makes this episode the most fun, I think.
Yeah, right, for sure. It's cool. I enjoyed it, and I enjoyed going back to watch it. It's not a great episode. It's a entertaining episode and something you could put on while you're doing whatever you're doing, and you know, it's not going to, you know.
Make you want to tear your eyes out, which is great.
Yeah, that's always a good.
It's not like Threshold.
Oh, not like the Empath.
Or Cat's Paw.
I don't know. Cat's Paw's got its charm. We got to do that for Halloween.
We got to
do Cat's Paw for Halloween.
Yeah, sounds good.
That may be fun. Did you see Cat's Paw? Do you remember Cat's Paw, Holly? The original series with the giant cat?
I don't think so.
Oh, it's like witches and warlocks and all that stuff, but the Kirk and crew are down on a planet. It's interesting. We'll have to do that one. It's painful, but it's funny at the same time.
Okay.
If you just take it as humor, it's fun.
Yeah.
Don't take it too seriously.
And that's how our Halloween episodes usually go.
Yeah.
I still think Schisms was our best Halloween episode so far.
Yeah. Have we done any Halloween ones?
Oh, we did the Halloween one with Holly. I don't think you were there on that one.
Oh, no?
Because we talked about the one episode called One where 7 of 9's got to keep the crew alive, and she's by herself, and she goes insane. That was kind of like horror-y.
Yeah,
so that's
creepy,
Yeah, we did that with Holly like right after we first met you, way back then.
Right after you first met me?
Yeah, right after we first met
you. Oh, I was going to say, because you were talking to Aaron, and you were looking at Aaron.
Well, yeah, because I was telling him about when we first met you, Holly. Yeah.
Yeah, got you. Well,
I don't think you were there for that one.
No, I don't think I was either.
Oh.
No. I don't think you were, Aaron.
No.
But.
Well, that was the Tholian web. It's just there, and it's a seed to so many other Star Trek, which are better.
You can watch it and not hate your life.
Yeah, absolutely.
And remark how much McCoy's
I found myself.
In. Did you watch it twice, Holly?
I should have, but no, I did not.
I think I
told David that I was going to watch it again.
Yeah, you did. You told me you were going to watch it again right after I finished watching it, and I'm like, oh, you're braver than me. I don't know if I can do that. I watched it twice in a week.
I did. Well, I just found myself. I just kept like drifting off in random thought. Like, wow, that blue and that purple and that orange on that spacesuit, like, that's really nice. And then I'm like, oh, wait, what's he saying?
Aesthetically pleasing.
You know, it's funny that you say that, because there's more and more scenes I see in the original series that they however they do whoever's doing the cinematography of the thing, they really do a fun job of keeping you, like, visually interested.
Engaged.
Yeah, like, there's a...
Engaged.
Engaged. There's, like, a scene, I think, with McCoy, and it's just hit a frame of him talking, and he's got his blue shirt, and I think it's a purple background, or maybe it's a green, but it's just a extremely powerful-looking just frame, you know, just the colors.
Oh, this episode also has some really interesting cinematography, whenever the weird, like, POV shots.
Yes.
Like, this episode does have some interesting things in it that you don't normally see in Star Trek.
Like Spock grabbing Chekhov, like, Chekhov.
Then, like, the guy in engineering who jumps off.
Yeah.
And then, like, the POV where, like, Bones is getting attacked by his other guy. Like, there's some interesting cinematography in this episode.
Or how about... I thought it was interesting, too. You probably don't remember, but after they watch the tape in Kirk's room, they walk out and they kind of just pan back to the view screen where they watched it, and that's how the scene ends. It's like, so you just pan back to the computer, and it's just blank.
That's cool.
It's just weird.
Maybe they didn't watch it after all. Dun, dun, dun.
You never turned me off.
Hey!
You didn't turn off my computer! That's what Kirk was saying that whole
time. He's like a hologram in there. It's like an EMH. It's like, no, turn me off. Semi-sentient tape.
Yeah, Moriarty's in there. I don't know. That's there were some interesting choices they did for this, which I don't think I've ever seen in Star Trek before.
And according to the Memory Alpha, this is the third time where we've seen a Constitution-class ship with all the crew missing and dead. And Star Trek continued that theme where they met a bunch of other Constitution-class ships. And that's what actually James Kirwan told us.
Right. So
whenever he was on one of those times where, like, the whole point of Star Trek Continues was to continue the theme of all the other Constitution classes failing their 5-year mission, and the Enterprise being the only one that ever made it the entire 5 years without losing all hands.
So you have the Exeter, where they are all turned to salt when they go down the planet.
Yeah, the Doomsday Machine.
The Doomsday Machine.
Where they all got killed on the planet that Decker beamed them down to. And then they flew that one into the...
Yeah, that was the... don't I remember it? It's not the Decker ship.
Oh, the name of it. I can't remember off the top of my head.
Come on, man.
I wish I could
I've
help.
I've got one job. No.
I've got one job to do. It'll come to me here in a minute. It'll come to me while I'm driving home. I'll be like, the Republic.
The Constellation. No.
And there's also the one where the I think it's called the Ultimate Computer or something like that, where they put the computer on the Enterprise and it has to fight all the other Constitution-class ships.
Mm-hmm.
And then it starts actually attacking the ships.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, there's like three of them in that episode.
Man, these Constitution-class ships were just not...
They didn't have
good destinies.
They had problems.
And then maybe that's why the one in Star Trek V is all broken. It doesn't want to work right.
Yeah, that's exactly.
It's just like that ship is cursed. And the Enterprise was the only one that worked.
Yeah, it was a terrible design.
Maybe. I mean, the Yorktown, which I think is the one that becomes Enterprise A, I think it was the Yorktown, and they just redesignated it the Enterprise.
Oh, is that right?
I think so, yeah. It wasn't – they didn't build a whole new one. It was they just like
– For NCC 1701
01A.
A was the Yorktown switch.
I think they just like erased and then just like put a new – We're gonna redesignate this the Enterprise and give it to Kirk because he likes the Enterprise. We'll just let him have the Enterprise.
That's funny.
So yeah, I don't think it was a new ship. They just like redesignated an old Constitution class ship and say, "Here, Kirk, you can have another Enterprise. We're not gonna give you an Excelsior because."
So strangely enough, in the comics back in the '80s, in between Star Trek 3 and 4, before we saw the A show up, they gave them an Excelsior. And they called it, and they didn't. It wasn't the Excelsior; it was the Enterprise. And they were on missions on the Excelsior class, but it was Enterprise.
Oh, it was the Enterprise B before the Enterprise B. That's awesome.
So weird, random facts.
And that's why the comics aren't canon.
That's right. Exactly. No, there's some weird shit in the comics. For sure.
Yeah. Well.
Dillian Webb.
Dillian Webb. It's done.
It's done. We did it.
What is it for?
We put it to
bed. Absolutely nothing.
Dillian Webb.
What is it good for? Absolutely
nothing.
Lots of stuff that has to do with other canon.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
Song reference I didn't butcher.
You got it.
Woo.
Ooh.
Aren't you proud of me, Holly?
Very proud.
It's actually really entertaining to hear, you know,
how bad
Aaron
I am.
Or I start a part of a song and you go in a completely opposite direction. So it's actually really enjoyable when that happens.
You're like, wow, that's not even where I thought it would go.
I aim to please. Right. I aim to please.
I'm still trying to think of Matt Decker's
ship. You can thank my dad, my sheltered childhood.
Yeah. There you go.
Love you, Dad.
Love you. I don't know any music.
Pretty much. Well, our intro is provided by Dave Wilkes. All our other music is provided by Warp 11. You can find them at warp11.com or Warp 11 on Twitter. Me personally, I'm David_J_Duncan on Twitter. The show is at the Holoc Duo. Aaron can be found at Blackbird2004. And Holly is at Lunar Thistle. And you can email us at syntholics@yahoo.com. Join the Facebook group at facebook.com/group/syntholics. And check out our YouTube page. It's mostly the podcasts, but I will occasionally record my thoughts on news and put those up as I am able.
That's cool. Definitely go on to Apple iTunes, rate and view us there. 5 stars if you could, and leave a little comment. Help us get seen to more people. Also, if you could go to our Patreon.com/Synthaholics, throw us a buck or whatever you can afford just to help support this podcast and keep on giving you more Tholian Web episodes. And also, great way to support the show. If you can't do those things, please tell your friends and family, tell your coworkers and your schoolmates, tell that lady down the street that keeps on stealing people's cats and they disappear into the house. Tell them about
She's hungry. She's hungry. She needs some sustenance.
She's very hungry. Let them know about Synthaholics. That's a great
Could
way
be her snack time podcast.
Snack time. Snack time, cat yes. time.
She makes her own homemade Chinese food.
Oh, no.
But one other thing I did want to let you know, I will be at RockCon September 8th and 9th.
Nice.
RockCon. In Rochester, New York. So if any of you guys are in the area, I'll be at the... I'll be mostly floating around the con, but if I'm at a booth, I'll probably be at the... Back Issues Comic Book Cup BCPIP podcast booth, because that's going to be our home base. I'll be hanging out with Chris Chavez and his gang at the con, and I'll be running around shooting videos of cosplayers for Get Another Cosplay Video up on our YouTube channel. So
nice.
If you guys know what I look like, feel free to say hi if you're in the Rochester.
Good that weekend. Rottenchester.
Rottenchester. Woo! So cool.
We'll tell them Holly from California says hi.
Yeah.
Hello from California.
Yeah, so if any of you guys are coming to RockCon, feel free to stop by and say hey.
All right.
All right. Well, thank you all so much for listening. Live long and prosper, one and all. Well, McCoy, my boy, come mix me a drink. Before the night's over, I'll puke in the sink. And we'll cry till we laugh. And we'll both shit our pants. You're the best drinking friend I ever had. Did you find out the name of the ship, Aaron?
The ship is called the USS Constellation.
Constellation. Didn't I say that?
You did.
I didn't know if you said, well, we said Constellation class.
I corrected to Constitution, but then I said, was it the Constellation? I think I said it in the show. I think.
Because it's a Constellation class in the earlier version, in the original series, and then it changes to the Constitution class in the movies.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think you said the Constellation.
No, I don't know. Maybe it was.
I think I said both. Yeah. Maybe.
Maybe.
Whatever.
I don't know.
We have the tape.
It'll be there one of the days. And this will be in the outtakes because this is after the closing.
That's right.
As they always are.
Constellation. I couldn't believe I couldn't remember that. I've watched that so many times.
So many times, yeah.
And I've watched it recently a couple times, like a lot with my son.
Mm-hmm.
My son loves that one. I don't know why. I mean, it's a good episode, but he loves
watching it's a great episode.
And, you know, I've seen it, so I don't know why I couldn't remember it. So
I haven't watched it since we talked about it that Christmas, the Doomsday Christmas.
Oh my God,
that was the last time I watched it.
That's when Chris Scioli was supposed to show up and he never showed up.
Yeah, Doomsday. Was that two Christmases ago?
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah, it was because the last Christmas we did Star Wars.
That's right.
Yeah, so that was two Christmas. So it's been 2 years since I've seen the Doomsday Machine. It's great. I know when I've seen an episode based on when we've talked about it on the show.
I honestly, like I've said, we got to start a Google spreadsheet.
I think Trek Yards is talking about it tonight on YouTube on a live stream or something.
God damn it, they're beating us.
They always beat us. Off, you know. No.
All right.
All right.
A one, a two, a one, two, three.